Hi, my name is Sue Berdoulis, and I'm the director of the Camrio Healing Rooms. Welcome to our fourth session on Psalm 103. Tonight's teaching is entitled, God Heals All Your Diseases. Really? Question mark? Yes, really! Exclamation mark. Too many times people are putting a question mark behind God's word, his truth, rather than an exclamation mark. You know, a question mark, it represents doubt, while an exclamation mark represents faith. Join me in discovering why you can unite your voice with King David in his exaltation, his thanksgiving and praise in Psalm 103 of the God who heals all of your diseases. God is the only one who has ever been able and willing to heal all diseases as perfectly represented by the life of Jesus Christ when he walked here on planet Earth. No doctor has ever done what Jesus has done, curing everyone of every sickness and disease for whoever came to him. God is the greatest physician ever known to mankind. Let us pray. Father, we enter your courts tonight with great thanksgiving and praise for this message that you are opening our hearts and opening our ears to hear about you, the one who is Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals all of our diseases. And Father, as we look to you tonight, our expectation is from you and from you alone. For you alone are our rock. For you alone are our salvation. You alone are our redeemer. You alone are our healer. And we praise you, Father, for the healings and the miracles, Father, that will happen here in our midst tonight and online as people are listening. We praise you for your wonderful name. We thank you. You are the God who heals. Amen. So let's go to Roman numeral 1, entitled Love Heals All Your Diseases. The title of this entire series on Psalm 103 is Living in the Power of the Gospel. In order to be able to live in an ongoing way in the power of the gospel for your salvation, you need to stay vitally connected to who God is. You need to stay connected to the very essence of his nature, his character, his personality, his attitude, his way of life, his way of dealing with you and I. And the one word that best describes God is love. We know that from 1 John 4:8. That God is love, and love is God. It's love that heals all of your diseases. It's love that forgives all of your sin. God passionately desires that you receive all of his benefits because he truly does love you. And part of his benefits that are listed there in Psalm 103 verses 3-5. It begins with what we studied last week, who forgives all your iniquities. And then the second one, which we're going to cover tonight, God who heals all your diseases. God's love, like we've been describing them for the last several weeks, the Hebrew word is hesed. And that word hesed actually appears four times within Psalm 103. So you can say that Psalm 103, the overarching theme or what it's all about, is God's love. And we know that God so loved you that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die your death on the cross as your substitute, not only for your sin, but as your substitute for every sickness and disease you would ever confront. And he says to you tonight, don't forget my benefits. Don't neglect them. And please, don't put a question mark after them. Yes, he knows that these benefits seem way too idealistic, above and beyond what you will usually allow yourself to think and imagine, let alone believe. Yet tonight, the Holy Spirit is beckoning you and I to his word that says, God is the one who heals all your diseases. So let's put an exclamation mark behind God's word, behind who he says he is, who he has revealed himself in his first redemptive name, which is Jehovah Rapha. And all of God's redemptive names, there's seven of them, they all point to what Jesus Christ would one day do for us on the cross. God's great love is so far above and beyond the limitations of this earth that it reaches into the heavens, and it goes way beyond the universe that man has discovered so far. And guess what? It abounds towards you and I forever and ever and ever. That's Psalm 103, verses 8, 11, and 17. God exhorts you, therefore, to follow his lead about what he wants you to dwell on. He says this in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ. And in Christ, you're seated in Christ, far above every principality and power. You're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And that's where we're to set our minds. That's where we're to focus on. God's love doesn't flow like a little trickling stream, barely making it through, but rather like a mighty rushing river. And it flows from his throne of grace, from the ocean of his love, into the hearts and lives of billions of people on planet Earth throughout all the ages. For those that come to him, his love, it will fill up every dry and cracked crevice. It will redeem you, restore you, renew you, and refresh you over and over again. How many remember the abundant rains we had this past year, 2019, in California? Yay! And this is a beautiful picture of how God's love is poured out into our lives in the dry and thirsty land where there is no water. That's Psalm 63. No water. Yes, there's water, but we're talking about in this Psalm 63 about the living water that comes from the throne of God. And the life-giving water contains the very life of God himself. And we need to allow his life to soak the dry and barren ground of our hearts. Number Roman numeral 2, God's healing word. I put it equals God's love seed. As a result of the steady rain soaking the dry desert floor in California this past winter, the dormant wildflower seeds were able to become all that they were created to be. And they changed the very barren landscape of the desert into something, oh wow, it was extraordinary, beautiful. It was known as a wildflower superbloom. The seed of God's word, when you allow the rain of the Holy Spirit to fall upon it as you let it pour forth from your mouth, it will produce all that it was created to be, because it has the very DNA of God himself in the seed. Isaiah 35, 1 through 2 says, "And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing." So, if you are experiencing drought-like conditions in your life, if you're experiencing sickness or disease, allow the rain of God to go ahead and come forth and to bud and blossom in your life, taking over what it used to look like. Amen. You know, every time that I have spoken on the healing word of God, I don't recall one time really where somebody hasn't come up to me and says, "While you were speaking, I got healed of whatever it is." So I want the expectation as a seed of the word of God as it goes forth to for you to receive it so dramatically that what you walked in with tonight, you will walk out with it. Because it's the power of God's word, his ability, his love that will perform that in your life. Sometimes I think of Jack and the Beanstalk when I see that, like, you know, it just, whoo, it's an instantly, automatically. And we know that whenever people came to Jesus Christ, that's how it occurred in his lifetime. He didn't say, "Go home and wait 10, 20, 30 days. So, point number C, continue to water the seed of God's healing word by putting an exclamation mark after every truth in God's word that concerns healing. And begin putting an exclamation mark behind Psalm 103 where it says, "God is the one who heals all of your diseases." Let's get rid of the question mark in our heart and saying, "Yes, God, I thank you that you have already healed my disease, my sickness." So you do this with your mouth until you see the fulfillment of God's healing benefit manifest in your life. That's what Romans 10, 9 through 10 talks about confessing the word of God for our salvation. So two handouts that I have, and there's the address for our Healing Room website. You can go to the resources on Cameo Healing Rooms and go to resources, go to prayer. And I have two things that I have developed over the years. And one is called Healing Prescriptions. You take God's medicine, the Word of God, like you would medicine, and that's the and then it will produce the healing. And the other one is Who I Am in Christ. And that's all based around healing scriptures. And after this session in room number 4 at 7 p.m., anyone who would like to come in, we are going to declare the healing word of God from one of those handouts tonight, as well as from what you received. Psalm 103, 5 says this: "He's going to satisfy your mouth with good things. Put his food into your mouth and let it satisfy you." And then it says, "so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." People think, oh, that's just spiritual he's talking about. But get this, Deuteronomy 34, 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. So if that could happen to Moses under the old covenant, how about you and I, those who dwell in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ? People think, oh, Moses had that mountaintop experience, and I didn't have that. Well, you have something even higher than that. You are dwelling at the highest Mount Everest there ever is. You are dwelling on the throne of God. And you're dwelling in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is dwelling inside of you. It's impossible to water the imperishable seed of God's word dwelling within you and not see it produce the promise. In contrast to our lives that will perish, the word of God says that the word of God lives and abides forever. 1 Peter 2:23 through 25 is very similar to what you will see in Psalm 103, verses 15 through 16. 1 Peter, it says this in verse 23, chapter 2, having been born again, not of corruptible, but incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then it says the same thing as Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16. All flesh is like grass, da, 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 da. But then it says, but the word of the Lord endures forever and ever. Now, when you look at Psalm 103, 15 through 16, instead of saying the word of the Lord endures forever, it says the love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, the love of the Lord endures forever and ever. The word of the Lord endures forever and ever. In other words, the word of the Lord is the love of the Lord. They're one and the same. The word of God is God's love letter to you. It is his love. And he wants to embrace you all with it tonight. By faith, it's your right and privilege as a child of God to abide in this eternal place of his word and his love. And this is how you live as one who fears him. Three times in Psalm 103, it says, like, this blessing is connected to those who fear him. If fearing the Lord is taking your rightful place in the word of God and staying there, abiding there. You are called to abide in God's love. That is your duty and your privilege as a born-again believer. So open your heart to hear Psalm 103 of God singing this song. It is a song, and hear him singing his love over you. Allow God's redeeming love along with all of his love benefits to penetrate your soul and to become the focal point of all your praise, just like King David sang over his own soul. And as you praise God, the one who heals all of your diseases, it will be like the rain, R-A-I-N, and it'll be like the rain, R-E-I-G-N, over your life, healing all your sicknesses and all your diseases. The healing seed of the Word of God, like I mentioned before, contains the very DNA of God himself. In Leviticus 17:11, we talked about this last week in regards to the forgiveness of our sins, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. You have, as a born-again believer, the very blood that flowed through Jesus's veins. He's in you. And his blood has the power to redeem you from every sickness and every disease and everything that would confront you. Remember that Psalm 103 is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is God's prophetic word about what Jesus Christ would one day do on the cross for you and I. The limitless love of God, it flows from heaven through the cross, reaching every need of yours, including your need for healing and health as you come to him. Luke 9:11, I just absolutely fell in love with it when I saw these words at the very end. Now, Jesus is in a great big multitude of people, and Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And then it says this it says, he healed those who had need of healing. Wow. That means all of us, when we're confronted with sickness or disease, qualify, don't we? We have a need, and we come to God with our need for healing. You are called to receive the kingdom of God, all his benefits, like a little child. A little child, what does a little child do in relationship to their earthly father? The little child believes daddy is going to meet every need of theirs, right? My son right now, he has a little 15-year-old daughter, month-old daughter. And this last weekend while we were doing FaceTime, it was so precious because here we are doing FaceTime with her and she's reading a little picture kind of book or looking at it, and my son's looking at it and we're looking at it through the phone and we're both talking about what's on these pages. And then she comes and sees this picture of a cat drinking some milk. And my son says, "Where's the milk?" And she points to the milk on the page. 15 months old now, very successful, yay. And then she starts to cry. And my son says, "Do you want some milk?" And she gets up and starts walking into the kitchen with my son following her. Now, the milk wasn't ready quite yet, so he hands her a glass of water, and she continues to cry. He gets the milk prepared in the bottle, hands it to her. All the crying ceases. An earthly father meeting the need of a child. Your heavenly father sees your need and wants to meet it. Now, my 15-month-old daughter, she didn't even have the words to describe it, but her father knew her need. In Luke 15, we see the same thing happening. When the prodigal son was a great way off, the father ran to him. Yeah, he had a lot of things that needed to be straightened out, a lot of issues, but his father is better than any earthly father. He totally forgave him. He gave him the best robe, the robe of righteousness. And he's given you and I that robe of righteousness, which symbolizes the forgiveness of all of our sins. The Holy Spirit is beckoning you to come to God's throne of grace with great expectation and confidence that your need will be met, that your healing will manifest here on this earth as you come to him. Hebrews 4:16, it says this, "Let us come boldly to his throne of grace." To receive what? To receive mercy and help. When? A month from now? A year from now? No, in the time you need it. Now, it seems way too simple, but if my son would have went ahead, knowing his daughter had need of milk, and says, "You know what? Why don't we wait till this evening before I give it to you?" I mean, it's just, we won't think of earthly fathers like that, but for some reason in our minds, when it comes to our heavenly father, we think he always has a stop sign out there, a wait sign. When it comes to healing, he says, 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of your salvation." When God proclaimed his name the first time to mankind, God revealed how we will always respond to his children, to you and I, to those who fear his name. Psalm 103:8 says this, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy." The Apostle Paul, this is in the New Testament, he describes our Lord, and he says, "God is the Father of mercies." That's 2 Corinthians 1:3. And God wants to know that he's a father who's very merciful to us. We think that he's out there with a big stick ready to swat us, when he really has his arms open wide to love on us and to give us what a normal human can't give us: the forgiveness of all of our sins. Last week we talked about the healing of all of our diseases. A mere human, a mere doctor can't even do that. And then the Apostle Paul, he illustrates how God's mercy and love are interrelated to one another. And I like this. It says in Ephesians 2:4, but God is rich in mercy because of his great love for us. Because he loves us so much, he has like channels of love coming from his throne. One's mercy and one is grace. Mercy is basically you get what you really don't deserve. Through your sin, you deserve the ultimate death. And sickness is incipient or slow onset of death. So that is what we deserve: sin, sickness, the curse. But through God's mercy, he says, no, you come and you allow that best robe, the robe of righteousness, to be on you. And I want you to know, I have forgiven you of all your sins. And then, he says, and then my grace is there. Grace is something different than mercy. Grace is like this, okay, so like a policeman. My husband was sharing this, a speaker had shared this, and you guys can all relate. So you're on the freeway, and the cop pulls you over. You're doing 80 miles per hour on the freeway. And so you don't get the ticket. I mean, he just, you know, stops you, and you don't get the ticket. That's mercy, right? When you've done something wrong and you don't get the punishment you deserve, that's mercy. But what happens if the cop, the policeman, then hands you a $5,000 bill? That's grace. That's what God does. He heals all of our diseases. He removes the sickness and disease. But then he goes, he says, I want your youth renewed like an eagle. He wants to restore you to the better than condition. So Luke 15, grace is basically getting what Christ deserved through his sinless life and sacrificial deeds on the cross. It's getting everything that belongs to Jesus. Luke 15, 31, the good father says to the elder son, who wasn't experiencing God's grace, he says, all I have is yours. He saw the prodigal son get a lot of benefits, and he's looking at the prodigal son and going, wait a minute, I didn't get those. And the Lord says to him, all I have is yours. He just wasn't living in the benefits that the Lord had given to him. It was like he put the robe in the closet, the benefits in the closet, never opening the presence that the Lord had given him. Galatians 4:7 says, you're an heir of God through Christ. Romans 8:17, and if children, joint heirs with Christ. You and I have an inheritance package that is so huge. Christ has already died, and he's already given us our inheritance. So we don't have to live like a beggar under the bridge when he's given us a mansion to live in. We don't have to live in sickness and disease when he has given us divine health. In the New Testament, mercy and grace are synonymous with redemption, the salvation of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Roman numeral 4. Jesus removed your sin debt, qualifying you for your healing. When it comes to receiving God's word, of Psalm 103 that states, "Who heals all your diseases," it's essential that you understand that God has removed your sin debt, has already paid for it in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I have to emphasize this because this is what I went through when I was trying to get healed. So I put there, you know, why do we know that need to know that he removed our sin debt? Because the enemy will always try to make you qualify yourself by living a perfect, sinless life in order to receive the gift of healing when God has already qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. And you can read that in Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14. What is your inheritance? We have the basic core inheritance in Psalm 103, verses 3 to 5, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, who crowns your life with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, we talked about God's gift box, that this is like your inheritance that you have been given. Your inheritance is Christ himself, and in Christ, you have every one of these benefits that I have mentioned to you. It's God's gift to you. Unlike the elder son, you don't want to keep it in your closet. You don't want to neglect what he's given to you, but you want to go ahead, accept it. Don't put a question mark behind his word who says who heals all your diseases. Put an exclamation mark behind his healing word. Start confessing it out of your mouth, and so you can see the seed of the word of God grow up into what it's called to be in your life. God knew you could not qualify yourself for such an inheritance, for such a great salvation, by your own good deeds, your own righteousness, your own growth or strength in the Christian life. The Old Testament revealed how no one was able to qualify themselves according to the law and their own ability to keep it. Therefore, God gave you Jesus Christ, the one who perfectly qualified you through his sinless life and through the shedding of his own blood for the remission of your sins. So when you come up tonight to receive communion and you put the cup of the new covenant to your mouth, you're basically coming in agreement with God about your identity in Jesus Christ, the one who has forgiven all of your sins and the one who has healed you of all your diseases. Isaiah 61:10 is a very visual picture of what the Lord has given to us. The inheritance. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Notice how that's plural? That's more than one salvation benefit. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So you are covered with the robe of righteousness, and then you receive garments of salvation. That's more than one thing that the Lord has saved you from. The number one thing that he wants you to know that he has saved you from is all sickness and all disease. And it's really interesting. We'll go to Roman numeral 5. When I started to see how forgiveness and healing were always in the same passages together, so here it is in Psalm 103, in verse 3, you see God is the one who forgives all your sin. God is the one who heals all your diseases. They were always brought together. And in Jesus' life, we see the same thing, him forgiving sins and healing all of our diseases. Forgiveness is God's redemption for your spirit, and healing is God's redemption for your body. In Isaiah 53, it's actually in the very center of your Bible. It's the foundational passage for your salvation, the healing of the whole man. In Isaiah 53:5, it says this. Here you watch for the words sin and healing in there. They're coming together. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. So we see he was wounded for our sins. That's the healing for your spirit man. The next one, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. That's the healing of our soul, and we're going to cover the healing of the soul next week. And then, and by his stripes you were healed. That's the redemption for your body, the redemption of your whole man. Jesus bore the curse in his spirit, soul, and body so that you would not need to bear the curse in your spirit, soul, or body. He did that as your substitute, as you, not just for you. Peter reflects on the core truths of Jesus' finished work on the cross, putting into past tense what Isaiah 53:5 and what Psalm 103:3 state. And once again, you see these two core realities about the forgiveness of sin and healing of diseases in 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our own sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So Jesus put your healing into the past tense, and he expects you to believe and act upon 1 Peter 2:24 in like fashion. God has authorized you to put your healing into the past tense. This is not mind over matter, but putting the word of God, just as it is stated in the New Testament. So if you look in the Old Testament in Exodus 23:25, it looked forward to what the Lord would one day do for us on the cross. And he says, I will, future tense, take sickness from you. And then we just saw in Isaiah 53:5, Isaiah prophetically was declaring what Jesus was doing on the cross. By his stripes, we are healed. And then in the New Testament, it's looking back to what Jesus has already done for us on the cross. By his stripes, you were healed. You and I, we live in the New Covenant. In John 19:30, it says, it is finished. All of your sins were forgiven. It is finished. They were paid for. All of your sicknesses and diseases are finished. They were paid for by Jesus. My husband, he got me a personalized license plate years ago, and it actually has 1 Peter 2:24 on it. So it's a great reminder for me to forget not this benefit, that by his stripes I have been forgiven of all my sins and I've been healed of all of my diseases. So you're called to live in this eternal reality of God's love for you forever and ever. As an inhabitant of Jesus Christ, you can boldly declare this. This is your identity as a born-again believer. Isaiah 33:24 says this, and the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven. You see there, once again, healing and forgiveness. I was like, oh, wow. You mean if the condition in your body, if you're fighting something now, you aren't to say, like, I'm sick? And what the Lord is saying is, you can recognize that sickness has come upon you, but what your identification needs to be is, I am not sick. I was healed by Jesus' stripe. And this is what you focus on. Set your mind on the things above, what the Lord has already done for you. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. And when you declare what he says, then it becomes manifest here on this earth. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, forgave sin and sickness. We see this when he healed the paralytic man. He actually healed the man first. And then he says, if you want to really know that I'm God, I'll forgive his sins also. There are many people that are not born again believers that do receive healing. But I believe that if you really want to walk in divine health, it is through Jesus Christ. And it is receiving his divine life in our life. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he taught us the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Did you know healing is the children's bread? It says that in scripture. So we got healing there. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we talked about how important it is to forgive the sins of others last week. And then James, he gives detailed instructions of how the elders of the church are called to minister the healing of sicknesses and diseases through the prayer of faith and the anointing oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. James 5, 15 through 16. You'll be invited up in a moment to take communion. It's a sign of your belief in the power of God for your salvation. Partaking of communion helps you not to forget that you have been delivered from all the power of Satan, especially all sin and all sickness. In communion, you have two elements. You have the bread. And they use matzah bread, and in matzah bread, there's actually stripes. Jesus bore 39 stripes for your healing. There's also piercings. His hands and his feet were pierced. It's a reminder of that. So healing of your physical body, the blood for the cleansing of all of your sin. So we see these two elements of communion. And so you can help, that'll help you as you think about Psalm 103. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. When we receive these, you are receiving the very life of Jesus Christ in our life. And as I start to finish up here, we'll take a look at Isaiah 53:4. It says that surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Very few Bible translations will actually say sicknesses and diseases, but the Hebrew word is sicknesses and diseases. Surely he has borne our sickness and disease. So if you look at the chart that I've made for you, you can see that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus has bore your sin and your sickness in the Old Testament. In Old Testament says, Isaiah 53:11, he shall bear their iniquities. Isaiah 53:12, and he bore the sin of many. And then we see in the New Testament, he bore your sins. 1 Peter 2:24, he bore our sins. Then it uses the same word bore for sicknesses. Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne our griefs. That's makeup, that's sickness. Matthew 8:17 is actually quoting Isaiah 53:4. So we really do know that Isaiah 53:4 is referring to bodily sickness and disease, because it's talking about Jesus, and it says he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Remember the scapegoat last week? When the sins were laid on the scapegoat, the scapegoat was taken way into the wilderness, and then he was actually pushed off over a cliff. He bore them, and it says that he took our sins as far as the east is from the west, remembering them no more. So, he doesn't want you to remember your sin or your sickness. He wants you to remember that he has forgiven and healed. forgiven you of all your sins, healed you of all your diseases. Roman numeral 6 is the mercy and compassion of God, heals all sicknesses and diseases. And you can take a look at that on your own. I have so many Bible verses where people came to Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, and they said, cried out, Lord, have mercy on me. That's what we're reading about in Psalm 103, the Lord's mercy, his name, the Father of mercies. And when we cry out to the Father of mercy, what did he do to every person that cried out to him, have mercy on me? He healed every one of them. In the Old Testament, God introduced himself with the redemptive name Jehovah Rapha, Dr. God, as one of my friends affectionately called him. God's redemptive names, I told you, point to Calvary, where he redeemed us from every curse through the work of the cross. Exodus 15:26 is his name, Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. Malachi 3:6, he says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Jesus perfectly demonstrated who God was, that he was Jehovah Rapha, the greatest physician who healed every sickness and every disease. Colossians 1:15 says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. What Jesus did during his earthly ministry, he will do for you. Jesus is the one who heals all your diseases. You don't need to put a question mark behind the power of Jesus' name. His name is the Word of God. His name is 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes, you are healed. So let us pray. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you, Father, for your word. And I thank you, Father, for your word now penetrating people's spirit, soul, and body, and bringing health and wholeness to every part of our being. We praise you and we bless you, for you are our healer, our restorer, our redeemer. You are the one who loves us, and we return our love to you by declaring the truth over our lives, over others' lives, and back to you. We love you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. We bless your name. Amen.